A happy Sabbath to everyone. Happy Sabbath and welcome to any visitors you may have with us. And happy Sabbath to all those on the webcast. We just sung a beautiful song, We Will Glorify. Everything God ever made, including man, he made with the purpose of giving him glory. In the case of man, God wants to bring us into glory. We give God glory by acknowledging him, praising him, and obeying him. It is in learning to give God glory by using these steps that we position ourselves for God in turn to give us glory. We do this by heeding his injunction, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now let's start out with some definitions. Strong's Concordance, number 1391, glory alludes to dignity, honor, praise, worship. Webster, glory is defined as praise, honor, admiration, or distinction accorded by common consent to a person or thing. Now, today, let us look at glory in a way we may never have done before. Let us let the Bible, God's Word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, paint us a picture that we may have never have seen before. As I mentioned earlier, everything God made, including man, he made with the purpose of giving him glory. In the case of man, God made him in his image. God wants us to give us glory. God wants us in turn to give him glory, and in turn he wants to bring glory to us. So right now let's take a look at our handout at the side I'm holding up here, and for those on the webcast, I'll hold it for a moment so you can get a good view of it here. And as you will see, it's a mnemonic, and whenever I speak I usually have a mnemonic because I think it makes it easier to fix it in our minds and makes it easier to remember and review from time to time as we go along our daily lives and our daily activities. Now, you'll notice, if you look at the first letter of each word going down, it spells glory, G-L-O-R-Y. And the mnemonic I've written out, the G for God, L for loves, O, obedience, and righteousness in you. Okay, we'll expand on this as we go through our discussion for the day. So, we will be discussing glory as it relates to God, as it relates to us, as it relates to how we relate to God, as it relates to how we relate to each other, as it relates to how we relate to God's creation, as it relates to how we think, what we say, and what we do. But first, let's look at a couple of scriptures. Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8. And it reads, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is any praise, think on these things. So first, is something we need to pay attention to in how we think. Let's look at Colossians 3, 17. Colossians 3, verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So here, in addition to how we think, we have to pay attention to our word, how we speak. And then let's look at 1 Corinthians 10:31. 1 Corinthians 10:31. And we alluded to that in the introduction. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, you'll notice in the definitions that we had, Strong and Webster, glory had to do with praise and admiration and honor, and all those have their place. But when you look at God's instructions in terms of glory, it has to do with how we think, how we speak in terms of our words, and how we live in terms of what we do, and we'll expand on that. So if you remember the handouts, glory, God loves obedience and righteousness in us. Okay, so let's begin to expand on these, and let's look at God. First, God. Turn with me, please, to Isaiah 46, and we'll read verses 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet, saying, my counsel shall stand. So God, at the very beginning, establishes who he is, and establishes his authority. And in speaking with Job, he left no doubt in his conversation with Job. Let's look at a few verses in Job and confirm that. So turn with me, please, to Job 38. We'll start in verse 1. Job 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, let's go to verse 4, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Verse 19, where is the way of the dwelling of light and darkness? Where is its place? And verse 32, can you bring out Masoreth in its season? Masoreth refers to what we call the 12 signs of the heaven. Or can you guide the great bear with its cubs, the great bear in the sky with its cubs? Verse 33, do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you set their dominion over earth? So God, at the very beginning, God establishes who he is, his authority. Now, the first thing we need to do then is recognize this. Recognize God. Now, why do we need to establish this and know that God is? Because that's where it starts. We have to know. And know that we know that God is. Because, turn with me to Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if the first thing we need to be doing is coming to God, then we have to establish and know that he is, and believe that he is, and believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now let's move on. God loves. Let's look at the L in glory. In discussing the L, I'll start off by alluding to what we just said. God is. L for lives. God lives. We established this fact above and just found out that we are reminded that we have to believe that, that God is, God lives, and God has all authority. Next, God loves. And let's turn to 1 John 4:8. 1 John 4, verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And John 3:16, we all are familiar with that. God so loved the world, so loved us, that he made the ultimate sacrifice. He gave his son. And his son, in turn, who is God, loved us so much that he, in turn, made the ultimate sacrifice. He gave his life. Now, under L, loves, I also have God looks. Looks. Turn with me, please, to Proverbs 15, and we'll read verse 3. God looks. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and on the good. So God looks. His eyes are in every place. He's looking on the evil and on the good. Well, let's expand that a little bit. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. 2 Chronicles. Just trying to keep your fingers nimble here. Second Chronicles 15, verse 9. Second Chronicles 16. I said 15, 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal. So God's eyes are everywhere, but there's a reason why. He is looking for those whose hearts are looking at those and for those whose hearts are loyal. Makes it a little special here. And then let's look at Isaiah 66, verse 2. Isaiah 66, verse 2. For all these things my hand has made, for all these things exist, says the Lord, but on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. So God's eyes are everywhere. He's looking on the evil and on the good, but he's focusing in on those who are meek and of a contrite spirit, and tremble at his word. Keep those words in mind. Meek, contrite spirit, and tremble at his word. So God, we established who he is. We establish what he does. He lives, loves, and looks. Obedience. Turn with me, please, to John 4:24. John 4:24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God is looking for obedience, and he has standards for this obedience. He is looking for those who worship him, but those who worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's look at 1 Samuel 15 and read verse 22. And as we read it, we'll remember the story that this alludes to. First Samuel 15:22. Then Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of lambs." So God tells us obedience has a priority for him. To obey is better than sacrifice. Whatever we do, we have to do it obeying in accordance with his guidelines. Genesis 26:5. Turn with me there, please. Genesis 26:5, "Because Abraham obeyed my voice," so Abraham obeyed, but it goes on to let us know what Abraham obeyed. "Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." So if God loves obedience, then he loves obedience as it relates to obeying his charge, his commandments, his statutes, and his laws. And one more, let's turn to Psalms 19, verses 7 to 9. And we'll answer the question, what did David have to say about God's laws, commandments, his statutes, and so on? Psalms 19, verses 7 to 9. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous all together." These are the things that God expects us to obey. Now, how did Jesus say we should live in Matthew 4:4? Matthew 4:4, and I'll summarize that. He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." So in addition to obeying the laws, the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, and the testimonies, we need to obey every word of God. We will only live by every word of God if we have, as we learned before, a meek and contrite spirit and tremble at his word, or are obedient to his every word, because this is what glorifies him. So when we are commanded to glorify him in whatever we do, what we do has to be according to his word. So how we live has to be according to his word. We glorify God by our lives. Quite a different picture now to what we were looking at when we read the definitions of glory. Praise, honor, adoration, worship, all those have their place, but we're understanding now that glorifying God has to do, most importantly, with our lives and how we live. Now, how does God relate to us when in his looking, because we learned that he looks, he sees that we not only tremble at his every word, but are striving to live by it? Turn with me to John 17:17. John 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So when God looks, and sanctify means to set apart for holy use. So when God looks, and we know he's looking, God loves, lives, looks. He's looking for those who are meek and of a contrite spirit, and then what he does is he sanctifies them through his word, because that's what they are obeying. Sanctify them through thy truth, set them apart for holy use. His word is truth. So sanctify means to set apart for holy use, to begin the process of bringing sons, that's why he sets them apart, into his glory. But more about that in a minute. Now, just take a little aside here. Romans 3:23, falling short of the glory of God. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So sin is falling short of the glory of God. When we sin, we fall short of God's glory. When we obey, we are doing his glory, or bringing him glory. Sin is the transgression of the law. Absence of sin is obedience to his law. Therefore, obedience, as we saw, obedience brings glory to God. Now, next in order is righteousness. Righteousness. Now, what does David tell us about God's commandments? We read that in Psalms, and you can turn with me, please. Psalm 119, 172. Psalm 119, 172. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. So righteousness, God loves obedience and righteousness. Well, by virtue of obeying all his commandments, we are doing righteousness. Now, turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy 3:16. We are familiar with most of these verses, but I think it's good from time to time to just read them again. 2 Timothy 3:16. But if your fingers are getting exhausted, you can just listen. I don't have that choice. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So his commandments are righteousness, and we learned that we have to obey those. But his word, every word, is given for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And righteousness is doing something we do. Let's look at Romans 4, verse 3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So Abraham glorified God because he believed God. And then, remember, God established, we have to believe, come to him, meek, contrite spirit. That's how Abraham lived, and that's how he approached God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, last on our mnemonic here is the word you. You. Turn with me, please, to Colossians 1, verse 27. To them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which are Christ in you, the hope of glory. So what God wants to do with you, with me, with us, is bring us to glory. But he can only do so as we believe. So when he looks, he sees us humbly, contritely striving, so he sets us apart, and as we continue to obey and develop righteousness, and we heard about that in the sermonette, developing character and so on, then we are in the position that he made us for and wants us to be, so he could bring us into glory, as we just read in Colossians 1:27. Turn to with me to 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So God tells us how he wants us to glorify him. He wants us to glorify him how we eat and drink and in whatever we do, and that's all inclusive. Many of you enjoy going to the feast to hotels that are all inclusive. So God is letting us know this is all inclusive. Everything we do, eat, drink. God expects us to glorify him in how we manage our health. Leviticus 11 and throughout scripture, he gives us guidelines and principles we must follow to maintain our health and glorify him in our bodies. He gave us principles to follow to protect the health of others, in the laws of quarantine, and in the way we glorify him. I won't expand on that because I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but in a coming up sermon or sermonette, there'll be some expansion on that. So in respect to the one giving that, I'll just mention it in passing. So in addition to scriptural guidelines and principles, there's a wealth of information available to us, nutrition, and other health resources on how to maintain a healthy immune system, which will go a long way in protecting from many of the ills that we are exposed to. Now let's look at a few quick examples of bringing glory to God. Turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy 4, 7. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. I have fought a good fight, says Paul. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. So, do you think Paul glorified God? That's the conclusion he came to when all was said and done, as he lay and was breathing his last breath. I have glorified you. Henceforth, there's laid up for me that glory that you made me to receive. And so Paul's example of him glorifying God was the way he lived. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. My course, keep that in mind, because that is something I'll mention again. John 17:4. John 17, verse 4. This is Jesus speaking. He said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. So even Jesus himself, and he is our example, when he talked about glorifying God, he talked about the work that God gave him to do. A little different from the definitions we had at the beginning. Not that they don't have their place, but we have to remember that what God looks for and what God wants is how we live. So in addition to obedience and righteousness, as we have come to understand them today, God has a work for each of us to do. Like Paul, sometimes it takes drastic circumstances in our lives to bring this to our attention. Remember, Paul was on his way to Damascus persecuting the Christians, and out of the blue, something struck him. Okay, he fell down and he was blind. Totally disoriented and discombobulated him. But his first thought was not to call 911 and go to him. You know, his first thought was, Lord, what will you have me to do? Something's, you're trying to get my attention. What will you have me to do? What will you have me to do? A very important question. Lord, what will you have me to do that is harmonious, totally satisfying, and for the highest good of all concerned? Let's look at Psalms 40, verse 8. And this, by the way, is my favorite scripture. Psalms 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. So, obedience, righteousness involves and includes understanding and knowing God's will. And not just understanding and knowing it, but delighting to do it. Let's look at the experience of David. Turn with me, please, to Acts 13, verse 22. And this is speaking about David. And when God had removed him, meaning Saul, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart. He will do all my will. So he tells you why David was a man after his own heart. Not because of, and we know David praised God. He sang, he danced, he played the harp and instruments of music, and he gives a classic example of praising God and glorifying God. But what God was attracted to and loved and respected in David, that he would do all his will. Psalms 19:1 is an example of the heavens. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." So even creation shows the glory of God. But in my very introductory remarks, I said, everything God made was made for his glory. So how do the heavens declare the glory of God? Well, have you ever looked up there? Looked at the beauty, looked at the vastness, look at the awesomeness of it. But the most important thing of all of it is, no matter how vast, beautiful, and awesome it is, it obeys God. It follows God's laws. Everything goes according to God's laws, like clockwork. And one final example, turn with me, please, as far as this goes, with Matthew. To turn it, please, to Matthew 8:27. Now, when we look at nature, the most destructive and powerful and unruly forces are the wind and the waves. But even they, when commanded to, well, let's read it here. Matthew 8, verse 27. And the men marveled, saying, "Who can this be? Even the winds and the sea obey him." So even unruly nature, the waves and the sea, and those can be, a volcano is bad, but it's local. And there are all kinds of other things that can happen. Earthquakes are bad, but they're local. But when it comes to the winds and the sea, they affect vast areas of the surface of the earth. But when God speaks, you notice he didn't have to speak twice. The winds and the waves obey him. Now, most of our concepts of glorifying God is in worship and praise and song and adoration. And this is true for the angels. And it's true for us too. There is a place for that. But as humans, being made in God's image and designed to be higher than angels, we bring God glory through obedience to his laws, his commandments, his testimonies, his statutes, his judgments, and obedience to his word. And we also bring glory to God by delighting in his will. Fulfilling his mission for our lives, and also for fulfilling his mission in our lives. Our talents need to gain 5 talents. Our pounds need to gain 10 pounds, so we can hear the "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I will make you ruler over many things," as is stated in Luke 19:16 and Matthew 25:20. God requires that we do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. Now, if you look at the back, I'll be summarizing right now, and it's all back here, so if you want to listen or you want to look. 5 steps to God's glory. And if you look, those 5 steps are what we just discussed. Glory, if you look, the word going down, glory. So I'm going to take those and give you the 5 steps to give God glory. G, believe that God is and that he rewards. God is. We have to establish that. L, we have to come to God with a meek and a contrite spirit and tremble at his word, an attitude of repentance and humility, because the meek will he guide in judgment, the meek will he teach his way. God lives, loves, and is looking. Oh, we have to trust the Lord with all our heart and in all our ways acknowledge him. Obedience. That's step number 3. We have to obey. And we learned so far what we have to obey. R, righteousness. Be not unwise, but understand and know his will. And then delight in doing that will. And that's how we build righteousness. And you, in everything, give thanks, maintaining an attitude of lively, sincerely deep, and continuously profound gratitude. With God, it's all about you. With you, it must be all about God. When we glorify God in all that we do, we not only learn to be like God, but in time, we will become like God and will bring, and he will bring us into glory. Now that we understand what the glory of God is, what it means to glorify him, that we need to glorify him in our body and our spirit, and why we need to glorify him, like Saul, ask and generally mean, what will you have me to do? And whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God.